alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Alhamdulillah wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. Amma ba'd. Honorable ulama, respected huffaz, elders, brothers and friends, all praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and his choicest salutations be upon the beloved master Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let us recite Durood Sharif. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina. Respected friends, the challenges facing the Ummah today are indeed numerous. When questioning his companions about these fitan, then Umar radiallahu anhu compared them to waves, التي تموج موج البحر, which will flow one after the other. And like the waves, which intensify in power, pace, and size during high tide, daily the challenges are not only multiplying, but striking us with greater force. Whether it is drugs, alcohol, or zina, they appeal to every person, be it the 17 or 70-year-old. We are all in the same boat, trying to navigate our way through the storm. Our salvation lies only in following Quran and Sunnah. From among the methods mentioned within the treasures of ayat and ahadith, I would like to briefly touch on two. Firstly, keeping with the pious, and secondly, attaching ourselves to the masajid. Beloved audience, Deen has encouraged us to seek out the company of the pious. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاصْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاتِ وَالْعَشِيِّ يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَهُ. Keep yourself with those who call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala day and night, desiring nothing but His pleasure. In another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. O you who believe, adorn yourselves with taqwa and be with the pious. History presents us with examples of wayward people who found their path to obedience merely through their company with the pious. It is the nature of man that he latches on to the habits of those whom he befriends without him realizing it. Hence the poet Tarafat ibn al-Abd would say, عَنِ الْمَرْءِ لَا تَسْأَلْ وَسَلْ عَنْ قَرِينِهِ فَكُلُّ قَرِينٍ بِالْمُقَارِنِ يَقْتَدِي. Should you wish to know the profile of a person, then view the mannerisms of those whom he befriends. For every person is molded and shaped by the habits and traits of those whom he follows. In the incident of Ashabul Kahf, for merely accompanying the youngsters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the dog in the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَكَلْبُهُمْ بَاسِطٌ ذِرَاعَيْهِ بِالْوَصِيدِ. At this juncture, it is important for us to highlight how detrimental evil company can be for a person. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verses in Surah Al-Najm, أَفَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي تَوَلَّى وَأَعْطَى قَلِيلًا وَأَكْدَى. Allama Mujahid, one of the leading commentators on the Quran, mentions that these verses were revealed regarding a man by the name of Walid bin Mughira. Walid bin Mughira was one of the wealthiest, most knowledgeable, and senior members of the Quraishi community. He would often listen to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reciting the Quran, and this impacted on him greatly, such that he was on the verge of accepting Islam. When the Quraysh found out about this, they approached him, rebuking him and questioned him, "O Walid, why are you doing this? Are you ready to forsake the religion of your forefathers?" Walid explained to them how the Quran had impacted on him and how he feared that if he died without iman, he would face the punishment of the year after. So one of his friends told him, "O Walid, let us strike an agreement. You do not become Muslim. Pay me a certain amount of money, and I will stand guarantee for you on the day of Qiyamah, and I will bear the brunt of all the punishment that will come your way, and you will face no punishment." Walid agreed to this, and he passed away without iman. Imagine, so close to becoming a Muslim, so close to having the title radiyallahu an, so close to eternal success, all washed away. Why? Because of the influence of an evil friend. Hence, because of this, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a hadith described the company of good and evil. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Innama mathalul jalisi salihi wa jalisi su' kahamilil misk wa nafikhil kir. Fahamilul misk imma an yuhdiyak wa imma an tabta'a minhu wa imma an tajida minhu rihan tayyiba. ونافخ الكير إما أن يحرق ثيابك وإما أن تجد منه ريحا منتنا." The example of good and evil company is like the seller of musk and the blacksmith. The bearer of musk might give you some, you might purchase some from him, or you might enjoy the fragrance of his musk. Whereas the blacksmith might spoil your clothing, or you might pick up a foul smell from him. A wise person said, "Mujalasatu al-arifi al-zahir tad'u min sittin ila sittin." The company of a person who has recognized Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and disinclined himself from this world transfers you from 16 to 6. Min ash-shakki ila al-yaqeen, from uncertainty to conviction. Wa min ar-riya ila al-ikhlas, from showboating to sincerity. Wa min al-ghafla ila al-dhikr, from being unmindful to remembrance. Wa min ar-raghba fi al-dunya ila al-raghba fi al-akhirah, from greed for this world to desire for the akhirah. ومن الكبر إلى التواضع, from pride to humility. ومن سوء الطوية إلى النصيحة, from having no concern for others to being a well-wisher for them. Malik bin Dinar would say, إنك أن تنقل الحجارة مع الأبرار خير من أن تأكل الحلوى مع الأشرار. To exert yourself in carrying heavy objects is better for you, what the pious, is better for you than to consume sweet delicacies of this world with evil people. Beloved brothers, the pious among us are not living in a distant, far away, enchanted land. They breathe the same air as we do and face the same challenges. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has equipped them with the tools necessary to ward off the challenges of the time. Suffice it to say that just as we seek the expert's opinion within every facet of life, so too should we benefit from the pious so that we may protect ourselves from the trials and tribulations of the time. When it comes to the masajid, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, في بيوت أذن الله أن ترفع ويذكر فيها اسمه يسبح له فيها بالغدو والآصال. In the masajid which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered to be raised, the people glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala therein in the mornings, afternoons, and evenings. In the hadith of Sahih Muslim, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, أَحَبُّ الْبِلَادِ إِلَى اللَّهِ مَسَاجِدُهَا وَأَبْغَضُ الْبِلَادِ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَسْوَاقُهَا. The most sacred and beloved of properties to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this earth are the masajid. Since the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the erecting of masajid was viewed as a pivotal factor for the nucleus of a society. Whenever Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam settled in an area during an expedition or journey, he would have a masjid put up so that he could perform salah with his sahaba. The sunnah was continued by those who succeeded him. In Kanzul Ummal, it is narrated that during the reign of Umar radiallahu an, he wrote to Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu an, who was the governor of Basra, commanding him to have a jami' masjid built so that the people would congregate at it on the day of Jumu'ah. In the narration of Abu Nu'aym, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Al-masjidu baytu kulli taqiyin. The masjid is a place of solace for the people of taqwa. From among the seven people who will be honored with shade under the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah, rajulun qalbuhu mu'allakun fil masajid. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam counted those whose hearts are attached to the masajid. In the narration of Abu Dawood, it is mentioned, kana an-nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam إذا صلى الفجر تربع في مجلسه حتى تطلع الشمس حسنا. Whenever Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would complete his performing of Salatul Fajr, then he would remain seated on his place cross-legged in the masjid until sunrise. For the Sahaba, the masjid was not just a place for performing salah or for the dissemination of ilm. Rather, it was their go-to place, a spiritual retreat for the Sahaba. Sahaba would frequent the masjid, conversing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and presenting their problems to him. To cite a few examples, when there was a tiff between husband and wife, then Ali radiallahu an sought refuge in the masjid. When the Sahabi had no food at home, the first place he went to was the masjid. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would often hear his two beloved companions, Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma, reciting the Quran during the hours of the night in his masjid. We are living in a time where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam predicted that the fitan would be on a rise. So how much more should we not attach ourselves to the masajid? We end off with a beautiful, spiritual boosting and motivational hadith that is mentioned in Jami' al-Tirmidhi. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu narrates that once Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned an incident to us. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, oh my Sahaba, last night Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala visited me in my dream. And he asked me, oh Muhammad, do you see that group of senior angels? What are they discussing? So I replied, I do not know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the entire matter to me so that I knew exactly what they were discussing. Again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeated the question, O Muhammad, What are this group of senior angels debating and arguing about? I said, oh Allah, they are debating the kafarat, those actions which if carried out will serve as expiators for one's sins. And what are they? Al-makthu fil masjid ba'da as-salawat wal-mashu 'ala al-aqdam ila al-jama'at wa isbagh al-wudu' fil makarih. The three which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned are to perform a complete and perfect wudu even when the nafs dislikes it, for example in winter. The second one which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned, to make one's way to the masjid for salah wa jama'ah. And the third, to remain seated and occupied in the masajid after performing salah. Thereafter, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, وَمَنْ فَعَلَ ذَلِكَ عَاشَ بِخَيْرٍ وَمَاتَ بِخَيْرٍ وَكَانَ مِنْ خَطِيئَتِهِ كَيَوْمٍ وَلَدَتْهُ أُمُّهُ. The person who carries out these three actions, he will live and die happily and peacefully, and he will be purified of his sins like the day his mother gave birth to him. Insha'Allah, if we hold on to these two all-encompassing solutions, then we will be paving our way towards light amidst the modern darkness. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us all the tawfiq to make amal upon what has been said. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.